Yo, what's up?
Que show.
What does that mean?
Que show, like, no, I don't know. That's what we used to say in Juarez when we were kids. ¿Qué pasó? ¿Qué show? ¿Cómo estás?
Oh, qué show. Como qué rollo.
Como show.
Ah.
Sí, payasa.
Ay. Es que como que quiero un chile chipotle ahorita.
Un chile chipotle con leche de shiva y chocomil.
Sí, chocomil. Babelito.
¿Qué pasó?
What are you doing?
Ya no lo estoy viendo.
Get off of your phone. We're doing a podcast here.
Hey, girl, what's up?
Hi.
What's going on?
Well, we have a special edition podcast this time. It's with our lovely friends at the Tamarindo podcast.
I think it's pronounced Tamarindo.
Tamarindo.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, they were here in Las Vegas this weekend, and it was awesome.
So much fun.
Yeah.
Too much fun for you guys, because I went to bed early.
Well, yeah, we stayed out a little bit longer. Yes. To eat. It was great.
It was so much fun, and I like how you guys are going to hear it, but you see the episode progressing from like professionalism to a complete mess. It's beautiful.
It's great. Man, I wouldn't say complete mess.
But you know what it is.
Exageres.
Wait, because this is part one, and they're also going to release one episode.
Right, so we did an episode first with Tamarindo Podcast, and then they did one. And by the time they did theirs, we were all like best friends. Like, oh, it was great. It was so fun. And if you guys haven't heard Tamarindo Podcast, well, I don't know what's going on with your life.
Yeah,
you need to get your shit together.
You need to really rethink things over.
Yeah, just get your Google Calendar and tomorrow.
Google loca.
Google loca. Today, Google loca.
¿Cómo dice tu primo? Abre la computadora.
Mira. Mira, métete a la computadora.
Ajá.
Mira, te vas en Google, te vas a Google Maps y ubícate.
I love it.
Anyway, yeah, this is going to be a really fun show. And if you haven't heard Tamarindo Podcast, Luis Octavio, Brenda Gonzalez, they think have over like 13, 14 episodes now.
Mm-hmm.
And they are one of the prominent Latino podcasts out there. They're based out of Los Angeles or the Southern California area. They have really great connections down there. And we're so glad we got to host them here in Las Vegas. And you'll get to hear them talking about that. Here, can you help me out? Because I'm tired. And you're just letting me just babble.
No, we...
And your name is Babelito, but you don't do any fucking talking.
I'm just listening.
I know. You're like falling asleep over there.
We're both tired.
You don't see my eyes? You don't see my fucking eyes, and I'm just talking and talking and talking. Y no me ayudas nada, güey.
Estoy
no, no me ayudas nada.
I'm letting you finish, bitch. Okay.
It was the same thing on the Tamarindo podcast. I was like, bitch, am I just going to talk the
whole
time?
Because I need my time to get into it. You know this?
Okay, well, take a shot of espresso and come on, man. 50-50, no?
Yes. Ay, mira, cálmate.
Ay. Jesus.
This is a preview of anyway.
And still after me telling you over and over, don't put your hands on the table. Ahí estás como que Tito Puente. Stop fucking doing that.
Okay. No, they were fantastic, and we've been thinking about doing this crossover episode for a couple of months now, because I was in LA maybe 2-3 months ago for a music festival, and I met with Luis, and we had tacos de canasta, güey. Oof, they were amazing.
Did you know, fun fact, that the taco de canasta was one of the first tacos documented in a photograph? So that's the first photographic evidence of tacos. Son de tacos de canasta.
Mírala.
I know. I read that in a book.
Oh, girl.
With pictures.
We don't call it tacos de canasta. We call it tacos sudados en Juárez.
Al vapor sometimes.
Al vapor,
too.
Yeah. Sudados.
Tacos al vator. Al vapor.
Al vator.
Vator. Al vator.
A la pura. Al vator ese. Anyway, so when we met, we're like, oh, we should do something together. And finally it happened. And you will hear us as it progresses. We keep getting more and more friends. By the end of the trip, we, as they said in their Instagram, we made longtime friends, lifetime friends. And I'm very excited for you guys to listen to this episode. And also, after this, if you want to go in order, after you listen to our episode, go to go and listen to Tamarindo's podcast, this episode, so you can see the second part of the interview and you can see the progression of things, which is pretty entertaining.
Yeah, you can hear, not see. It's not a
TV. But you know, I'm an art historian and
everything is visual.
I picture things, yes.
I know. Uh-huh. What is it called? Synesthesia?
Exactly. I see sounds.
You see sounds.
I see them.
I saw sounds one time.
Ay, cálmate. ¿Qué te fumaste?
Well, I didn't know fumé. I was in a forest with a bunch of hippies, and you know, they had other...
There were bongos involved, I'm sure.
There was so many bongos.
Yes. Mama, have you heard that Manu Chao song? Mama was queen of the mambo, papa was king of the mambo. Anyway, that's a good... We should do a whole episode on Manu Chao.
It was. Ugh. What are you eating?
I'm eating...
¿Cómo se llama? I know that these are called Mexican wedding cookies, but I don't know.
In Mexico, they're called galletas.
Galletas, pero galletas...
I don't know, man. I don't know what...
They're like sandies, you know, like the pecan... Polvorones. Shortbread.
Como polvorones, yeah. ¿No? Un tipo de polvorón, pero más chiquito.
They don't call them bodas, galletas de boda.
¿Galletas de boda? No. Not that I know of. But you do see them in Mexican weddings.
I know.
Or quinceañeras, depending, you know, how much money the parents of the quinceañera have. But, you know. Mm-hmm. No, they're like polvorones with nuez. You know?
Yeah.
They're pretty good.
They're delicious. They're very good and addicting. And I don't know. I bought all this shit for everybody to have lots of food for when Tamarindo was here.
I have to give Luis all the bubulubus because I was eating them all.
Did you give them those? The whole box? Ya se los comieron todos.
Sí, güey, quedaban dos. There were two left because I could eat one after another
I didn't want any of that candy left here because guess what? I would eat it all by myself.
No, it's all good.
Like, como ayer estaba, I was upstairs eating like all the fucking pan dulce que quedó.
There's only duvalines and mazapanes. And everybody's doing shit with the logo of the mazapanes. I see it over and over again everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's kind of cool. But
I need to do it. I need to do something.
Anyway.
Follow the trend, you know?
Sure.
So what did we do today, Babelito?
So today we exercise our rights as inmigrantes de este gran país.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And we voted. This is a year that I hated the fact that I was obligated to vote for somebody that I wasn't into. But whatever, we voted for the lesser of two evils, and we'll see what happens.
Speak for yourself. I happily voted for Hillary Clinton.
I'm not with her. Bet okay. She got my vote, so whatever, she doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, so we did that, and it was super easy. So if you haven't voted yet, Google it, like we say.
Locas.
Google it, locas. Find out. That's all we did. Babelito came to pick me up. I literally Googled it, and we found a place 3 blocks away from my house to go vote. And we got there. It took us 10 minutes.
10 minutes, yeah.
It was great. America.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the things... When I see people complaining in social media and they don't even vote, I'm like, shut the fuck up. Like, you didn't even vote. So, but anyway. So, but I respect the people in this election decided not to vote. I know that maybe a vote, non-vote is a vote
That's
for
not an excuse
the other
either.
Dude.
That's not an excuse either, though. You don't have to vote for the president. You can vote for the local congress people or your local representatives.
You're right.
Also.
You're right.
Like, you're not going
to
vote
to
for
say,
them, too?
You're right. What I meant to say is people that didn't vote for one or the other.
Yeah, but it's also people saying that just because they don't have anything. They're not going to vote anyway. They just feel like, anyway, I'm going to come.
El diablo va a ser presidente. One or the other way. So that's all I have to say.
What, diablo? Oh, gosh. Anyways. Let's start the show.
Let's get into it.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Latinos Who Lunch brings to you a special Tamarindo collab crossover episode with our special guest, Luis Octavio and Brenda Gonzalez.
Este ha sido un servicio traído para usted por la Iglesia de los Santos de los Últimos Días. Oh.
Hi, this is Fabi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are Latinos Who Lunch, the podcast where we talk about important things like
chicken and waffles. Oh no.
¿Qué pasó?
She fucked it up.
Hello, hello, hello. Hi, how
que
are
show,
you?
Que show, que show.
Oh my gosh.
Buenas tardes.
How are you, Babelito?
I am doing extremely well. How are you doing?
Great.
And talk to the microphone.
Please talk into the microphone. We're doing a goddamn podcast.
Sorry. Okay.
Okay. You guys want to do it again or are you good?
I don't know. I think it's funny.
Yeah, okay. It's fun.
Oh my gosh. So on the show today, we are so... We are so happy to have...
Hashtag blessed.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Híjole.
We are so happy. We have the Tamarindo podcast here in the building.
Woo! Matracas!
I don't have a matraca, but... Oh, my gosh. How are you guys?
Muy bien, muy bien. How are you?
Great. We have Brenda Gonzalez here.
Woohoo.
Brenda Gonzalez Jr.
Jr.
Brenda Gonzalez Jr. I had to throw that in there. Me va a matar después, pero Brenda Gonzalez Jr. Welcome.
That's because we were wondering, there's no women juniors. So we decided we should start calling myself that. I'm not a junior now.
I like that.
¿Y con quién más?
Luis Octavio.
Stage name. Yes.
Bienvenidos a Las Vegas. What do you think of Vegas so far?
Muy bien. I like it.
Yeah,
this
we
is
love
beautiful.
Vegas.
Your studio is amazing.
Sí, el estudio está poca madre, you guys. This is amazing.
See, this is when white people get, you know, when they put their mind on doing something good, they can do it. So
Wow. Thank
you so much to the Jewel Las Vegas and the people behind this.
This is beautiful. Because I feel like I'm in the inside of a piñata.
Yes.
Oh, yo soy awesome. El trompo, I think.
Ah, no, pues yo soy la mandarina, entonces.
I think, so we're all colación.
I know, yes.
And that doesn't sound good.
So I just want to get this out of the way and say thank you guys so much
for
coming
so
here.
Excited.
Like, you guys are one of my favorite podcasts. And when I found you guys, I couldn't believe it because Emmanuel and I, or Babelito and I, when we first...
Babelito.
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 Thank you. When we were searching, you know, like we want a podcast with people that look like us, that talk like us, that know our experience, and we couldn't find it. And when we found you guys,
you guys were the first ones.
Oh
my
exactly.
God. That's awesome.
We're so excited.
Yay. Well, Luis found Latinos Lunch. How did you find them, Luis?
I think it was through you guys. Like, you guys posted or started liking our pictures on Instagram. And then I was like, ¿y estos quiénes son? ¿Qué pedo?
See, my obsession with Instagram paid off.
It did.
Yeah.
It did. And
yeah.
Then I started looking through your Instagram feed. And I was like, a ver. And then I listened to the podcast. And I was like, Brenda, no mames. These guys are fucking hilarious.
Yeah, and then you guys met in the flesh.
Yes.
That's
that
so awesome.
Was awesome. In L.A., Babelito met Luis.
Yes,
and
we
Fabi
did.
Fab and I were very jealous.
Mm-hmm.
We ate tacos de canasta.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
so awesome.
Girl, it was so good.
But thank you so much.
We're
equally as excited to be here because your guys' show is amazing, and it's great that more Latino podcasts are starting to, you know, come up, and we're starting to have a
support
voice.
Support each other, too.
And support each other, which is definitely super
And we
important.
Were both of us recognized by Latino USA. So
oh, my gosh.
That's so cool.
Mariana Hossa, what
I
up,
know,
girl?
The OG.
You met her, right?
I did. I met her a couple times.
Tell me.
So
she's amazing. She took... Okay, last time I met her, she took a picture with me holding la chancla that I brought specifically
no
to
way.
Meet her. Problem is, she took it with her phone.
Oh.
She has not shared it.
Oh.
But Maria Hinojosa, wherever you are,
yes,
we need that picture.
We need la chancla. But on another positive note, they have officially incorporated la chancla segment into their podcast In the Thick.
Really?
As a result, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So and every time you throw a chancla on In the Thick, you can thank Tamarindo Podcast for that.
Oh my
nice.
Gosh. That's so awesome. And in the house today, we have all of Tamarindo
all
Podcast
of
here.
The team here.
We have
the
producer crew. Jeff in the corner. Say hello.
Hey, what up?
And we even have Fernando here.
Woohoo. He's Matraca and our resident Colombian correspondent.
Oh, yes. Very nice.
He's given us some good insights on Colombia.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, nobody heard what you said, but all right. So
he's in the shadows.
No, we love having you here, producer. So what are we eating today?
Okay, so since we have our guest from LA, I thought let's give a little bit of much of where I'm from. Oh, yeah. So we decided to go to a restaurant that sells border food. So I brought, of course, burritos. These are not my mom's burritos because I just drove from Albuquerque, so there was no time. But I ordered burritos of everything. When Fabi told me that there was no dietary restrictions.
I know, there's not. I
was so happy. I'm like, todo. Uno de todo, por favor.
Damn. So, like, what are these Angelinos that are not gluten-free, vegan? No, I eat it all.
I'm vegan on Tuesdays.
So there's barbacoa burritos.
Yo soy virgen on Tuesdays.
Híjole. The tea's coming out. The tea's coming out. So there's barbacoa burritos, there's chile colorado, which is very typical of Juarez. And if you notice, your burrito is just the flour tortilla, the meat, and...
Y los frijoles.
Es todo. That's it. No,
but do you really need
no
anything
rice,
else?
Pico de gallo y las mamadas que le ponen aquí. No, it's okay. Just so that.
Yeah. Usually on the show, we don't shout out the restaurant because they're not paying us, but
exactly.
This time... I'm going to talk about it.
Go for it.
It's called Juarez Border Food, and they're in Little Mexico here in Las Vegas.
There's
on Eastern.
Little Mexico here?
Well, that's what we call it, not officially. And Juarez Border Food, the guy is from El Paso and Juarez, obviously. The tortillas that the burritos are wrapped in are made by his family, and they bring them over here to Las Vegas, the flour tortillas. Yeah. So they're imported from Juarez, from Mexico.
They have a t-shirt of my high school in their ceiling.
Do they?
Yeah.
They're probably related to you, fool. You don't even know.
No.
Well, this is so good.
Very delicious. And we're also eating...
Bubulubus.
Bubulubus.
Y Carlos Quinto. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome. I went to my uncle's mini market and I stocked up on everything.
Damn. Carlos Quinto. Whoever
either one of you can
Carlos
sponsor
Quintos
us,
is
by the way.
Boo-boo. Amazing.
Ricolino, sponsor, hashtag.
So why don't you guys tell us a little bit about what you guys are doing right now and some of your plans, because we're very interested and our audience is also very interested about what the Tamarindo crew is up to these days.
Wow. Well, we're still on cloud nine from being listed on the Latino USA list of 8 Latino podcasts that you should listen to. That keeps growing. We're excited to be on that. Right now, we're just hoping to sustain keeping up this Tamarindo podcast. We've been able to do about 2 episodes a month. Mm-hmm. It's been really fun. We actually did a little GoFundMe campaign and raised a little bit of money, so we were able to get a travel mic. And in fact, we're going to experiment with it here in Las Vegas. Just, you know, trying to keep it going. It's been a lot of fun enjoying all of the support from other Latino podcasters. Yes. And all of the Shine Theory, to quote what mis amigas.
Shout out.
Mis amigas from...
Call your girlfriend.
that are all about Shine Theory. That's what I see a lot of that modeled in us being here and the support across podcasts on Latino podcasters. So I just want to keep doing more of that. What do you think, Luis?
No, pues sí. I mean, it's been pretty crazy. It's been busy, obviously. I mean, you guys know what this is like. Being able to keep our schedules aligned and making sure that we have the time to be able to do these podcasts. Mm-hmm. So far it's been great. We want to continue to do this as much as we possibly can. Both Brenda and I don't know anything about producing.
Luckily,
so.
We have a secret weapon. Producer Jeff was here.
Yes.
Matraca!
Yes. Porque si no, no hubiera Tamarindo podcast.
Yeah, we're so lucky.
But we're just, you know, enjoying it. I think it's so great to do something that you really like and that you don't have somebody mm-hmm. behind you saying, you can't say this and you can't do that. You know, just being
so far, so good. No,
free to just say lo que se te hinche la gana is amazing.
Yeah, it's a really great platform. I think.
I know we talked, Fabi and I talked about that this is our space because, you know, I teach, and as much as I say whatever I want to say in the classroom, I also have to be very careful.
Right.
And I know you also talked about that, Fabi, about your artwork and how this is a space that it's more free, you know?
Yeah, I don't have to filter myself, right? Other than this pop filter, because Babelito's peas are very intense.
Because he's always calling you something.
No, I'm sorry. Any chance I get, I like to
I
make
know,
fun of
girl.
You.
I'm saving them. I'm putting them in my pocket.
He's going to release the Fury one day, and he's going to finish me.
Episode 7.
Fatality. No, it's true. A lot of my artwork is about that, is about Latino visibility and just kind of breaking stereotypes, or even just, I mean, just being in white spaces. And let's be honest, like, the podcast world is a very white space.
Definitely. There's been a lot of like podcasting festivals and not one Latino podcast.
I know, right?
We need to start our own.
And the tickets are expensive. That's a good idea. Yeah. So it's ridiculous. Yeah. So yeah. I like that idea. Start our own.
So I think it's I there I think, you know, I don't want to like say it's us, but we're starting a movement. I feel like between
I say it is we are
we la are verdad, right?
I mean, there's la not neta. A lot la neta del planeta is yeah. we are
in the Spanglishness
and the know? Spanglishness
like,
too
okay, this is who we are in any modo.
Yeah.
You can understand us in both languages. And if you mostly can understand us, and you're happy to learn new words if you don't understand us. So I love that.
Yeah, for sure. So I know a lot of your listeners already know who you are, but I want to get to know you guys just a little bit more. I totally binge listen to all your podcasts. So like, I know more about you guys.
Tus pobres oídos.
I know. No. No, you guys are very busy people, obviously, but I don't know if you want to talk about, but I just think it's important for people to know, like, what we do on the regular.
Yeah.
Like, Emmanuel or Babelit, I don't know why I'm calling. It says, I haven't seen you in so long, and your hair
three
looks
weeks,
really
and
good
this
today.
This is what happens.
So, yeah, you guys are very handsome.
No.
Wow.
Excuse me? Look that's, at you guys.
That's the only downfall to podcasting is you can't see our beautiful faces.
I know.
Ni
modo.
Ni modo.
There used to be this queen that used to go, imagine. That's what you reminded me of, Brenda. But okay, so for example, Babelito is an art historian. He's getting his PhD. I'm an artist, a writer, blah, 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 wada, la, wada, la cuchara. And you guys, I know you guys do so much. So I just want to learn a little bit about that.
Well, I can share. I won't be specific, but I do spend my real job is with a Latino civil rights organization, a national Latino civil rights organization. And then for fun, I volunteer on a lot of different things. So I'm on the board of Honor PAC, which is a PAC that raises money for LGBTQ candidates. And we also endorse and provide money for them, which is super
cool. That's awesome.
I'm really enjoying that. And that's a new thing for me, but it's really fun to see the endorsement process. And then the other thing I do for fun is I'm also the board chair of a nonprofit in LA that works on, basically we operate on the belief that every student has the right to a public, a quality education.
Yes.
And since we know that most students go to public schools, we want to make public schools succeed. So those are the two things that I do on the side just for fun. And yeah, that's me in a nutshell.
¿Y Luis?
¿Tú crees, güey?
No, I pero know. Este con todos
Para no
businesses.
Hacernos ver mal, ¿verdad?
Híjole, like, how do you even top that, no? Pues, I binge watch Marimar on
no
Netflix.
Way.
Yes, yes.
No. And I also watch Caso Cerrado because Fernando loves Caso Cerrado.
Do you find out
Mi
that...
¡Mi pelo, estúpida!
I love that.
And I watch telenovelas colombianas because I have to learn the Colombian slang por Fernando.
¿Cómo así?
Sí.
Tengo un fin.
Ave María. So we watch Lady, La Vendedora de Rosas all the time.
I need to watch that.
But...
Sorry. Oh, sorry.
Está dando un patatús,
no.
Chiripión.
No, because I went to Colombia like last year, and I remember they kept doing this and saying something.
Oh, like chumbimba.
Yes.
¿Qué es eso?
I don't know.
Chumbimba. Bueno, luego te entrevistan a ti porque me están entrevistando a mí. This is about me.
We'll talk later, Fernando.
Te dije.
Okay, so back to you. Back
sí,
to your
por
life,
favor.
Please. This is Luisa's show. Okay.
La payasa.
So I work in experiential marketing, and so what that means is basically we put together campaigns for different brands that are looking to showcase lo que venden or, you know, their services to the public. And so I've been doing that for over 11, 12 years now.
Wow.
So that's
what
I do. That's what pays the bills. But for fun, I love to travel. I love to travel to Mexico. I've been to 28 of the 31 states.
Wow.
That's amazing. Obviamente, Distrito Federal, because I'm from Mexico, from La Ciudad de Mexico. And so I love going out there as much as possible. And como vivo cerca de Tijuana, I'm at least in Tijuana once a month.
But you also have a million beautiful side businesses. You're an entrepreneur. This guy's an entrepreneur. He's wearing his amazing, amazing hats from Mercado LA.
So I think that...
tell us about your businesses.
Yeah.
Híjole, ¿una hora? ¿Tenemos una hora?
Sí, pásale.
We'll go over.
So I think that what's important to me is to bring things that are de mi cultura and offer them to people that are not familiar with it or mm-hmm. or who maybe sometimes can't really go back to Mexico or where they're from. So I do have a couple side projects. My dad would say I'm crazy, but I like to try new things. I hate the what if feeling. So I rather fail at something. I rather a business of mine not, you know, succeed and fail than to not know what it would have been. Mm-hmm. So currently I'm working on two small businesses, projects. One of them is Globitos. And what Globitos is basically a balloon company, and the balloons are geared towards Latinos. So we have conchas, concha balloons, and we're going to be launching actually at the end of this month a balloon that features a taquero that basically says taquero mucho.
Taquero mucho.
We were just
taquero.
Yeah, that is a song. Entonces, that's one of the projects, and then the other one is these hats, as Brenda was mentioning. So the Mexican embroidered dresses, and pay them for their embroidery, put it on trucker hats, and then have them build a collection. Each one of these women is going to have their own collection, and whatever hat sells, I'm going to attach a picture of the woman who embroidered the piece, mm-hmm. and then a little bit about their story, and whatever hat sells, I'm going to send additional money for them. So that's
super cool.
That's awesome. Really,
very busy.
Very busy. Very, very busy people.
Man,
that's so cool.
You're making my PhD like it's nothing.
Oh.
I know, cállate. I know. Aquí el doctor Chapatín over here.
I want to know Candido something, Pérez. Though. Doctor Candido Pérez. That's when I drink.
Is Candido Pérez going to come out today?
No, because you remember how I used to come into the house and just fall every
time?
Yeah.
That's you?
That's why, yeah.
Híjole.
But I want to know how you guys met. Like,
I'm glad you
story.
Asked that because the other amazing thing that Luis does, like, when very young, you know, in his 20s, he had his own marketing firm, like his own enterprise, his own business. So I first met Luis when we contracted him when I was volunteering on a effort to do, it was called the Slam, and it was a skate park, like a skate competition. Producer Jeff worked on it. And it was basically to raise money for victims of domestic violence. To give them a scholarship, give the mothers a scholarship. These are mothers. Give them a scholarship so they can go and continue their education. Anyways, we worked with Luis to do all the marketing for the Slam. So that's how I first met Luis. We were both living in Santa Ana, mm-hmm. going out all the time, back when we would get very drunk. So we had a good friendship since then. So And through the years, we've always kept in contact. We got to go to Tijuana with Luis, and he gave us a wonderful tour of all the wines and everything. So we've had a friendship for the past several years. That's how we met.
But it was really cool, though, because when we met in this capacity of, like, business, right, working together. They came over to our small agency and said, hey, we're having this organization work on this event. How can you help us? Excuse me. And so it was very business-like. I wasn't going to say, hey, vamos a tomarnos una cerveza or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then we started talking, and I could totally tell that she was, like, super raza, you know?
But
like,
at first he didn't. At first he's like, who is this girl?
Yeah.
She's so stuck up.
Bueno, sí.
La neta.
Bueno, lo she's bueno que you brought it up. Not me. No, but after, like, talking to her for a little bit, I noticed that, like, hey, you know what? This girl's, like, freaking cool. And then I learned that she was born in Mexico, and yeah. Ahí valió todo.
Hasta ahí.
And we had drinks, and then we just became friends.
Yeah.
And how long ago was that?
This is 2009. Oh, yeah. Okay. So it's been a while. Mm-hmm. ¿Y ustedes? How did you guys meet?
You go ahead.
It's funny because they both looked at each other at the same time. Como, cuidado con lo que vas a decir, idiota.
No, I was actually, it's one of those moments when I had a million jobs, and one of them was managing a gallery in a casino of Liberace's costumes. So at the Cosmopolitan in Vegas, mm-hmm. had 10 of Liberace's costumes on display, and I was in charge of them. And Babelito came in with a mutual friend of ours.
Hey, Nicole.
Hi. You give the worst fucking shout outs. You gotta be like, what's up, Nicole? Yeah, shout like, out, girl.
Yay. Keep going. Not today, Satan. Go ahead.
Not today. So that's where we met. And he was teaching a class and on Mexican art history at the time, and I had never taken Mexican art history. Mm-hmm. And he offered, hey, you wanna come sit in the class? And
I didn't offer. I made you sit.
Oh, that's nice.
I was
nice.
Like, you gotta come to my class. And he's like, oh, I'll send you an email 3 months later.
Okay, bitch, wait a minute. So I was also teaching. So mm-hmm. I would teach the children mm-hmm. in during the day, middle school math, okay?
Oh, and then, another math teacher.
And then
that.
Don't use the children as an excuse.
You know, they needed me. And I was like Michelle Pfeiffer in that shit. So
oh, my
then,
God.
So then, so, and then I would go and I work in a casino after. So I went, the first time I went was when the kids had spring break and I had a week off. So I went, we went and had tacos and the rest is history.
You went and had Latinos for lunch. Very cool.
Yeah. And I was always like, we got to do a podcast together. Like
that was 2 years ago. And we yeah. keep talking about it, talking, about, talking, it, and talking, talking about it.
Finally.
So you guys only have known each other for like 2 years.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow. No, pues it sounds like you guys grew up together.
Oh.
Yeah, you guys nice. Sound
cute.
So great.
It just sounds
we're like family now. Well, like his family, his family kind of adopted me. He hasn't met my family yet, but someday.
I'm having tamales in Christmas. He doesn't know that.
Oh,
I was okay. just saying that he goes, well, I hope they invite me too.
Yeah, because they probably won't. But I know, it's so sad. It's so true. But I was going to ask you, what are you guys doing in Las Vegas now, this weekend?
Well, a couple things. Honestly, I don't know. So many things. Well, I think... I don't know what came first, but I know that you, if any of you listen to the Tamarindo podcast, you might have noticed that Brenda, me, I'm a Hillary supporter from the get-go before it was cool. And so I learned
cool.
that Nevada is a swing state, an important state. I learned that on my favorite other podcast, which is In the Thick, mentioned twice already. And so I was like, as soon as I learned that, okay, they're an important, Nevada's an important state, I was like, I need to go volunteer there. So we have a friend that has a condo here, and he was very generous and let us stay in his condo. So I knew that I wanted to come and volunteer for the Hillary campaign. And then I think around the same time we were talking about, oh, we also want to do a crossover episode. So I think the timing just worked out great. So today I was door knocking with producer Jeff, his first time volunteering on a campaign.
Awesome.
So it was really fun. And he's giving a Hillary shimmy for that. So imagine that. And we did door-to-door knocking in the Vegas heat, which was not that bad, to be honest, today. It was not that hot. But yeah, that's what brings us here to Las Vegas. That and you guys, of course.
Claro.
I love how you guys get political on your show, too. Your friend Bao is always on the
show,
yeah. right?
Shout out to our friend Bao.
Yeah,
we love him. So he's among our good circle of friends. Mm-hmm. So there's Bao, our friend Diana. There's like a good circle of us that have been friends for several years. And it's amazing to see someone that you know and love actually become the mayor of a city.
Yeah.
And he's running for Congress. And it's just, I mean, it's a very uphill battle for him. But we've been... really excited to see him. And he's always been kind of like a underdog that's won. So
yeah.
By the time this airs, who knows, maybe he'll be in Congress. We'll find out.
Awesome.
It'll be amazing.
Yeah. So it's very important. And I've been so busy this whole time that I haven't been able to volunteer or be as political as I wanted
There's
to.
There's still time. You know, today's the first day of early voting
Don't
in Las Vegas.
Don't start with me. Yeah, I know. I know.
That's why
it's
I came
very
here. That's what I'm doing tomorrow.
So all you Latinos out there, get your grandmas, get your moms, take mm-hmm. them to the polls and make sure everybody votes.
And vote early because you don't want to stand in line or have some crazy Trump supporter harass you while you're waiting. Just vote early.
Absolutely. Yeah, the other day they did the Culinary Union here in Las Vegas did a big protest outside of the Trump Tower here.
I saw that.
It was so awesome and it really lit a fire like under my ass. Yeah. Like, holy shit, I got to get into this. So I went down to the wall of taco trucks that they were building around the Trump Tower.
Yeah.
And it was just so nice just to be around all the excitement of the election and to see this peaceful protest, you know, with tacos. I thought was so cool.
And for people to see that there's these movements in Vegas, because every time people think about Vegas, that's the last thing they think about.
Of course.
Right? About politics, about the Latino community as well.
Everybody's thinking of strippers.
And exactly. And other things. And even the relationship of people relating with Trump. They see have a casino or whatever, but there's another side of that. And the fact that it got national news, it was really cool.
That's
to
awesome.
See.
There's so many service workers here in Las Vegas.
And they've been fighting for a long time too. So they finally got their spotlight.
They fuel the city.
And matraca to them for like just coming up with that whole concept of like building this taco truck wall. Like
it's brilliant.
As much as I hate the guy, the credit goes to that stupid Latinos for Trump. Marco Gutierrez.
Hashtag tacos on every corner. Taco trucks on every corner.
Thanks for the challenge because look at.
Yeah, we got so many people to register to vote from taco trucks because of that. So that's really cool.
I don't understand.
What a battle.
Anyway, I don't want to give it more attention than he deserves.
He doesn't need anything.
But I want to know also, what are your plans for either Halloween or do you celebrate Halloween or you celebrate Dia de los Muertos or do you have something special going on this year?
Well, I think I talk about this in our podcast. You know, growing up here in the United States and trying to assimilate wasn't always easy. And, being a part of this country involves some of these holidays, right? Como Halloween. Mm-hmm. So for us in su casa, que es de ustedes,
gracias.
We actually don't give out candy for Halloween. We used to, but what we do now is we give out these LED foam sticks for children because the neighborhood that my parents live in, there's a lot of Latino kids that come around. And so I feel like we don't need to give them any more candy porque se les van a picar los dientes. So what we do is we give out these LED foam sticks so that, you know, when they're walking out in the street, la gente los ve. And it's actually turned into some sort of like tradición now. Where
people go to your house.
Yeah, people know and they start lining up.
That's really that's nice awesome. Because some kids have food allergies, I've learned from the Facebook. So that's nice that you give other things other than food.
But we do that for Halloween. And I think the reason why we do that is because, you know, growing up here, the chiquito, you always wanted to have that Halloween costume. Mm-hmm. And I remember in Southern California, there was a store called Newberry. They're not around anymore, but it was like sort of like a Dollar Tree. And so that's donde me iban a comprar a mimis, these disfraces, because they couldn't afford anything else. So it was basically these plastic, you know, disfraz with the plastic mask. Yeah, you know.
I love it.
So we do celebrate Halloween. We do. I love Halloween.
Yeah.
I love to have parties, and Halloween is one of my favorite holidays of all time. I think especially because you don't have to gift anything, and it's still a holiday, and you could still throw a party.
Yes.
So I love that about it. But for Dia de los Muertos also, my parents always built altares in the house. And so inside our house.
But in California?
In California, or in donde vivimos. But so we always build altares. And what we do is we actually build an altar. For both my parents' parents who've passed away and my mom's dad. And those are the closest people to our family who have passed away, and that's who we build the altar for. So I have a silla from my dad's pueblo that we put on there. I have one of his morrales, and I have one of his sarapes. And then for my other grandfather, I have, I think, one of his jackets. And so we put this in the altar, and then we bring in food that they loved. So that, you know, we como ofrenda, no?
And is this every year? Or
every year.
Oh, okay.
Todos los años.
That's beautiful.
But then we started seeing, you know, about 5 or 6 years ago, how all these Dia de los Muertos and all these face painting.
It changed, right? Like out of nowhere.
Katrina and now Disneyland, y la fregada. Mm-hmm. So what we do now is we don't keep it amongst ourselves anymore. So what we do is we invite people over and we ask them for two things. One is bring a picture of somebody who you'd like to celebrate. Mm-hmm. And then give us three names of songs that they loved. And so we'll invite a couple people. They'll send me a list of canciones, and then I'll build a playlist around that. Mm-hmm. And then we my mom makes gorditas. We buy champurrado, and we'll sit around, you know, the living room or whatever, and we'll talk about these people and, you know, how we remember them. And sometimes we'll end up crying. Sometimes we'll end up laughing. But then we'll listen to the music that they loved.
Because it's a celebration, and that's what people don't get. And this is what it makes me so fucking mad when people start dressing for Dia de los Muertos in Halloween.
Yes.
Like, it's two completely different things now. Mm-hmm. So this idea that people sitting down and listening to music, that's what it's all about. It's a celebration. And I like that you guys are creating your own tradition, because that's also what happens in Mexico.
Claro.
Altares in DF are something, in Oaxaca is something, in Puebla is something, in Michoacán is something
else. It's
totally
different.
And it's different within the country.
Yeah, Brenda, you're from Puebla, right?
I'm from Puebla.
Did you grow up celebrating Day of the Dead?
No, actually, no, not really. My parents and I are way off, way different from Luis's parents. I think my parents started noticing that if they don't decorate the house and don't put a pumpkin in, they don't have to buy candy. So we do not decorate.
Smart.
They have a savings account. Uh-huh.
Yeah. But I've always, I mean, I love Halloween. And my Jeff and I, producer Jeff, who's married to me, we love Halloween. We love Halloween. So if you follow us on Instagram, I'll upload some of our best holidays. But we love Halloween. We do ridiculous costumes. It's the best one ever was when we did Black Swan. And I was the Black Swan, and Jeff was the White Swan. Obby. It was amazing. And we actually won a costume contest that night. So we always do, I mean, I have a lot of fun with Halloween. It's super fun. Mm-hmm. But this year, I'm really excited because Luis, what's your name? Jeff.
Este.
Jeff and I are going to go to Oaxaca, Mexico, and actually go to Dia de los Muertos in Oaxaca. So we're really excited about that. The one time that my parents and I did do an altar, it was in Santa Ana in Orange County, which is one of the first cities, I think, to... Well, okay, I can't give credit to the city because the city had nothing to do with it. It just happened to be in Santa Ana. It was a nonprofit called Del Centro that put this together. So they've been doing an annual celebration for Dia de los Muertos, and they do a really great job with it. And my parents and I did an altar, and it's so much work. It's so much work to get up early, put all the flowers, make the food. But it was really, 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 really nice. So it was a really great experience. So we did that 1 year, and then we realized what it takes, and I don't think we're going to do it again.
Make sure to get to the cemetery early, because the cemetery in Oaxaca gets...
Oh, really?
Packing.
Okay, so that's a good tip.
And there's a lot of different things. So you can go to the museum, and they have like this beautiful artistic...
It's going
to
be great.
So there's so much to do in Oaxaca.
Oh, my God. It's going to be amazing. And actually, Luis, I just found out he was able to book a flight, and he's going to be there for that the 2nd, November 2nd. So that's going to be great.
Whoa,
so when
cool.
does it get busy? November 1st or November 2nd?
The 2nd.
Okay, great. Yeah. So then Luis and I, we're going to be there. We're going to make use of our travel mic. So it'll be
awesome.
Really great. That'll be really fun.
That's so cool.
Yeah, same Brenda with my family. My mom's side is Guatemalan. You can see some Guatemalan inspiration in here. And my dad's Mexican, but he's Northern Mexican. And then my Guatemalan family... They got really Christian, Protestant when they came to the United States, so they dumped all of those traditions. But they used to do Dia de los Muertos, because Central America is like really into that. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know the tradition. I knew what Americans knew, Dia de los Muertos. Like, you paint your face, you put some flowers on, you do your thing. Mm-hmm. But last year I was in Puebla for that time. And Emmanuel, Babelito and I went to...
Huacachula.
Huacachula.
Huacachula in Puebla.
I like that.
Yeah, in Puebla. And it's like the Day of the Dead tradition there is so... Like,
it's completely different than any other part in the country.
Wow.
They build the altars based on 19th century aesthetics. So they are all this like they're like columns that they built with white fabric to represent clouds. And it's supposed to be seven layers, the altars, and each layer represents something different. Mm-hmm. They prepare all year round. You have to die like a year in advance, otherwise you don't get an altar. Yeah, so you won't see Juan Gabriel altars this year, not until next year.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, they I think, yeah, their traditions haven't changed in years.
3,000, yeah, well, they've been changing for years, but I think from the early 1900s, that's how you've seen those altars the same way.
Yeah,
that's
so the, cool. So November 1st is el Día de los Niños, right? Like yes. the kids, and then the second day is for the adults.
And that's the day we were in. And
we went for the kids' day, and only one kid had died in El Pueblo when we went. So there was one house that was open, wow. And we went in there, and it was really amazing.
And it was amazing because everything came together at 3, I think it was 2 or 3 p.m., you see all these kites outside the church coming out, and then fireworks. So they're bringing the souls of down. The kids with the fireworks, with the kites, and then the cepasuchil. You start to seeing everywhere in the streets.
Yeah. So everything started making sense. Everybody turns their radios on, like really loud so people can hear. So church bells ring. Ugh.
It was quiet. Like it was like 2, it was like 1:59, it was quiet. And then boom, the clock ring, and then you start
everybody
smelling the incense. Incense, everything just to bring the souls into the town. That. It's amazing, amazing. Yeah,
it's gonna be great. I'm so excited.
Yeah, and Babelito and I are, maybe next year we're gonna do a full episode on Día de los Muertos and break it all down
because please, por favor,
it's being commodified as usual here in the United States because you can make money, you know, like make a Snapchat filter or whatever, you know what I mean? So
I mean, it's
it
really
happens.
Cool and really fun, and the schools are nice, but I mean, the positive thing is that at least it's introducing some people to a Mexican holiday and correct. They're uncomfortable with it.
Yeah.
I do think it's a little crazy when people get really offended with like, oh, what are these white people doing celebrating Día de los Muertos? Because guess what? We're half Spanish too. And the whole holiday itself is a commodity. Like it was a marketing scheme. Mm-hmm. So I do feel like it's a little silly to be super offended with like, it being a marketing scheme now when the whole thing was a marketing scheme by the Catholic Church. So calmate.
Okay.
Drop the mic.
Yeah, well, that is an interesting... We're going to get into this now.
Yes.
That is an interesting point you bring up, Brenda, because Día de los Muertos was celebrated way before the Catholic Church, but that's true. Because of the traditions and because they wanted to get the native Mexicans to go to church, they actually made All Saints Day at the same time as Día de los Muertos to attract them. And what was really cool in Huacachula was that the people of the land, right, before the Spanish got there, they were too afraid to go into the church. So this church is built with all these open chapels so they could have church outside in that town, which was really cool.
Yeah, and also because the rituals in pre-Columbian period happened in the outside.
Yeah.
So what the Spanish did is they adapted the architecture of the Islamic architecture of mm-hmm. Day One, and they apply that to the 16th century. So when you go I know you said you were going to go to Puebla, and you're from there, but there's a series of missions on the slopes of the Popocatépetl, and you get that. You get how we talked about the piñata, you have Day of the Dead, that also all comes together during that period, during the 1500s, and it's just fascinating. But I want to come back to this. I don't want to change the subject, because I get upset when they mix the Day of the Dead and Halloween. I like the visibility of Day of the Dead. I'm going to tell you why. I'm also with you because I learned more about Day of the Dead living in Albuquerque than living in Juarez. Right. In Juarez, mm-hmm. we don't celebrate it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until I was in La Secundaria that we did one altar. And I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. But I was already like 12, 13 right, years yeah. old. And then when I moved to Albuquerque, the Chicano neighborhoods in Albuquerque. For decades.
I love
Albuquerque,
that.
Albuquerque.
That sounds like I'll take an Albuquerque, por favor. Uh-huh. No mayonesa, everything on it.
No todo, por favor. Yeah. Sin cebolla. But they've been doing it for decades. So they have a parade. It's mm-hmm. low rider. So all the family getting to the lowriders painted as skulls.
Yeah, see, and that's a beautiful thing.
And that was the first thing, that was the first time that I really felt the celebration of Day of the Dead. Mm-hmm. And I realized that it's not just an issue about celebration, but it's about identity. And mm-hmm. the Chicano identity of Albuquerque, it's rooted in this celebration many times.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So that's where I understand why people celebrate, and sometimes mm-hmm. I don't get mad, sometimes I get upset, but it's like I have this back and forth with it.
Yeah,
you know?
Because I think it's a very delicate thing. There's ways to do it well, and there's ways where it just doesn't feel right.
And disrespectful, yeah.
Yeah, and I think coming from a Chicano lens of identity, then that feels very genuine and authentic, and that's the feeling that I felt from the Santa Ana Dia de los Muertos.
Mm-hmm. That has been happening for a long time.
Yeah, I don't know if I feel the same way when Hard Festival in Los Angeles, the Hard Electronic Music Festival, has the Day of the Dead, Hard Day of the Dead. That's when I feel like,
see, that's
I don't know.
Gross. Yeah.
So it's really a delicate dance, and I think there's ways to do it right and ways to do it wrong. But to be like, I don't like any white people celebrating it, you know what? Calm down, because it was a marketing scheme to begin with, so it's in tradition.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what I was going to say is that it's funny because I actually was at a Day of the Dead event at Placita Alvera a weekend ago, and some lady approached me, white lady, and said, you know, I don't even know if I should be here. Are people going to be upset that I'm here? Blah, 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 blah. And I basically told her, no, I don't think that people would be upset of you celebrating Dia de los Muertos here. I personally wouldn't. I think it's great that you're trying to find out about my culture. I appreciate it. The only thing that I have an issue with is when, you know, these corporations or these, you know, white folks are trying to make money off of it.
Yeah.
That is when I have a problem with it. I don't care that you want to paint your face, but if you're going to want to do that, at least learn a little bit about why the fuck are you painting your face?
Yeah, because the history of Day of the Dead, it's so complicated. And it's been around for 5,000 years, 3,000 years before the Spanish arrived. So the fact that it can just be a costume, it's just, mm-hmm. It boils my blood.
Yeah.
But again, there's ways of celebrating with other cultures, right? And be respectful about it. And there's ways to just completely appropriate it and make it yours and make it a big party, like Cinco de Drinco, as you call it.
Cinco de Drinco, everybody.
Speaking of Drinco, if you guys hear any burping or any of that, because we are drinking, and it is me.
Yes.
Disclaimer.
Yes. All right, it's that time again for a word from one of our sponsors. Emmanuel, Pavelito.
Llévele, llévele. Tenemos gorras. Tenemos gorras de Oaxaca, Puebla, Michoacán. Todas a un buen precio. Llévele, llévele. Mercado_LA.
And we're back.
And we're back.
Oh, my goodness.
What a lovely break.
I know. What a great commercial. Like, wonderful. What is it about?
Find out in the show notes.
Oh, yes. We'll put a link on our website at latinosulunch.com. So it's that time again for our recommendations on here. Here at Latinos Who Lunch, of course, we love to support Brown Podcasts, but we also love to share what we're into, right? Music, literature, TV shows, whatever you're into. Pablito, do you have anything this week?
Oh, yes.
Tell me about it.
So I have been riding my ass off for the past 3 weeks.
Sounds and hot.
Yes.
Híjole, Brenda.
Literally. And I like to have music that it's both stimulating but also background music so I can concentrate. And this week, I found an album that took me through the whole spectrum, from background music to stimulating to I can stop listening to it in the car. And this is an album by Helado Negro. This is a DJ/singer from Venezuela, and the album is called Private Energy. I cannot recommend it enough. He's been around for a while, but he's been getting a lot of attention from Me Too and all those websites. From a song that just came out, it's called Young, Latin, and Proud. Listen to that song and listen to that entire album. Just put it in the house, you know, pónganse a trapear, a lo que sea, and you will love it, I promise you.
Oh, very cool. MG. I can't wait to listen to it.
It's good.
It's good.
Good. Brenda?
Well, as if I haven't given them enough plugs, my favorite podcast that you all should start listening to is called In the Thick, and it's by Maria Hinojosa, and I totally forgot the name of her media group, but Futuro Media Group. Futuro Media. Check them out because everything they do is amazing. So In the Thick is a favorite podcast that I absolutely love, and if you listen carefully and you listen to Tamarindo Podcast, you will notice that they have adopted our chancla segment, which I think is very cool. So they're great. It's always a diverse panel of speakers talking about the election and politics, so it's phenomenal. And then another Maria Hinojosa plug, because I just love them so much, love her so much, at Futuro Media. They also have a PBS special on America by the Numbers, which is fantastic.
Yes.
And the last one that I saw was about the Asian American vote. And they turned that into a podcast for Latino USA, as well as a live interview, which I got to go to, which was very, very fascinating and interesting. So anything from Futuro Media is phenomenal, but I want to plug in the Thick, especially this time.
That's awesome.
Love.
Nice. ¿Puedo hacer dos?
Can I do two? Que no?
Yeah. Tres, cuatro. Tres, los que bueno. Guste.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, pásale a lo barrido. Bueno, pues I don't listen to that many podcasts como Brenda, as you guys can see, because she's like podcast kind of obsessed.
Me too. We got to talk after
you
this.
You and I.
Pero I actually mentioned this podcast in our podcast because I am absolutely hooked. Se llama Chilango Podcast.
Ah, sí, sí,
Dios
sí.
mío. They are. Last time I sent out a shout out or I talked about them, I was down, I think I listened to like 25 podcasts.
Jesus,
I'm like now at like 75.
Wow.
Like
how
they
long,
are
how
so
long are their
good.
Shows?
They're like 35, 45 minutes.
Maybe that's the key. We gotta keep it.
Pero it's so great. You have to understand Spanish because they're in Espanol. But it just makes me feel like I'm in la Ciudad de Mexico.
That's awesome.
And I'm like, damn, I want to travel out there cuando hay estos conciertos or when they have events. And
That's
so great. It's such a great podcast.
What's it called again?
El Chilango Podcast. And you can find that on iTunes and all the regular outlets. But my second recommendation is, también como tú, Babelito, música. There's a group that's based out of Los Angeles, and it's called Very Be Careful. They're actually playing right now, tonight, at Viva La Vida at the train station in Santa Ana.
Yeah, they play a lot.
Be Careful is awesome. It's a group of these young guys who play Aniceto Molina style music. It's cumbias. It's very it's amazing.
Sweet.
So Very Be Careful. Definitely look them up. Igual que tú, cuando estés lavando la ropa o trapeando, then you could definitely listen to them.
Sweet.
Okay. My recommendation, I'm just going to do it because I have been listening to Solange's album on repeat. For real, for like 2 weeks now.
It's so good.
It is so good. Solange, she's out of the basement. And in the studio, and it just sounds...
She might have outshined.
No, girl, don't even start.
Es la hermana de Beyoncé, ¿verdad?
Yes. She has a song called Don't Touch My Hair. Oh,
don't
shit.
Don't touch it.
It's such a precise
hair.
Album.
Oh, it's so good.
From beginning to
really?
End. Oh,
it's
yes.
beautiful. And even
hashtag woke.
Exactly. And hashtag FUBU.
Hashtag fan theory.
Oh, my gosh.
Hashtag no sé de lo que están hablando.
You gotta listen to another round somewhere. Do you guys listen to The Read?
I had once or twice. I need to listen to more of The Read.
That's one that I'm
all about Call Your Girlfriend.
I love them too.
Another Round.
Another Round.
The
Read.
Pew, pew, pew.
Yeah, finger guns. Tracy's the best. Yeah, Solange's album is on point. And I usually, you know, I like music with a lot of rhythm that's a little faster. And this album is not that. And I'm very surprised that I love it.
I will check it out. I haven't heard all of
it. I think you have to listen to it all the way through. It's like an art piece. I really think
so. What is she singing about?
She's just talking about being her and being
identity.
Black and...
In a very approachable way too.
Yeah.
And who is it? Master P is in a lot of the interludes talking about being black and her dad and her mom, and the songs are just, they're just on point.
Yeah, the arrangements in that album. Oof.
Mm, wow. Cannot wait. Cannot wait. Because I do love the last Beyonce album, so.
Yes, yes. I saw a meme that said, if Lemonade is the Bible, what is Solange's seat at the table?
And the second coming?
No, it said the Jehovah Witness pamphlet.
Oh! Oh! So
that's so rude. It's better than that. It's like the when they just have that little orange New Testament. That's
you
what
know
it
what
is.
It is? It's like the something for the chicken soup for your soul. That's what it is.
Oh my gosh. Oh, well, I am just so happy that you guys came. And
me too.
And yeah, we're here in person.
Here at your house.
Yo, un poquito pedo.
Drinking all the beers. Like we had, if you listen to the show and you hear a lot of like chewing, burping, slurping, it's because we were having esquites, we were having bubulubus, burritos, cerveza, pan dulce, no mames, everything.
So good.
Todo para la dieta.
Okay, so where can people find you?
Oh, they should just go to hashtag #ThatMoneyInThePodcast. That's the best way. They can get to everything, but they should find us on iTunes and subscribe. That's the absolute best way to get fresh stuff from us all the time.
And rate.
And rate us. And tell a friend, because I think a lot of Latinos don't know how to listen to podcasts. So just teach someone how to find us.
That happened just to me this weekend with my cousin.
Really? They don't know how to find you.
She's like, a ver, explícame esto de los podcasts que no entiendo. So mm-hmm. I had to like really introduce her into the whole thing. Yeah.
So walk someone through the process and then tell them about Tamarindo.
So go to iTunes, everybody. Find Tamarindo Podcast. Rate them 5 stars, 5 stars only. And then leave them a review, because it's very important. The more reviews you have on iTunes, the more visible you are on iTunes.
Yes.
And we need that visibility. And while you're at it, put in Latinos who learn. Thank you. And do the same thing. That motherfucker that left us 3 stars, I'm going to see you when I go to LA.
Oh, what? Again?
I'm going to call my cousins, and they're going to do it. Como dice mi tía Jessica, they're going to handle it. I know.
Ay, qué mamila. ¿En serio? 3 stars?
Mm-hmm. There's something about it that I just cannot get into, and I'm like, okay, girl. I got
you. Is it someone you know?
No.
See, there you go. You know. Well,
I know.
I appreciate the genuine
pero
feedback.
Quién hace,
you know?
But okay, yes, genuine feedback. But come on.
Why don't you like it? Like, that would be useful information for us.
Yeah, exactly. If you have ideas for how to make any of our podcasts better, email us. Yeah.
But you know what? You said something on one of your podcasts, Brenda, where you're like, we don't have trolls yet. That means we haven't. So when we start seeing...
I mean, trolls are a sign of a good of progress.
Right. So I think now that we're starting to see...
Maybe you guys have made it.
No. Please. I think more negative comments are going to come here and there, and it's good to learn from them, but it's going to happen. I mean, we're on Latino USA's list, girl.
Yeah, all right, awesome.
Yeah, so I'm Fabi Fav,
and I'm Babelito,
and you can find us on latinoswholunch.com. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Nos vemos en los Satmeet.